Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Give me all your loving, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Celtic are out of the Champions League and Palace have signed Joachim Andersen. It's Thursday, 29th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you here. Andy, is it a thrilling Thursday or a throbbing Thursday? Are the two the same?
I think it's a thrusting Thursday.
Yes!
I think you can have all of those.
You can have all of
them.
On
a Thursday like this, you can have what you want.
Exactly. And all the girls are crazy for the sharp-dressed gym.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A little tribute to ZZ Tops there. Gentlemen, we start with some Champions League chat. It's funny, isn't it, in July? You forget one can forget about the preliminary rounds and so on and so forth.
But and this is for next seasons as well, isn't it? This is how, is how long they take.
Yes.
I think in the case of Celtic and Galatasaray in particular, you can forget to prepare for them.
You can. And also, Andy, two examples there. There's some bloody big teams knocking around in these rounds. Of course, Celtic, they were beaten by Midtjylland 2-1 after extra time. Last night. It was in the second round of qualifying, and it's the second consecutive year that Celtic have fallen at this stage, which is very, very disappointing for them, of course. But, Jim, they got off to a flyer with Callum McGregor's goal. Let's not forget that goal. I understand, Celtic fans, that you're obviously disappointed and so on. But in the name of football...
Marcus, I think you are swimming upstream there. I think in the grand scheme of things, this goal will be forgotten, I'm afraid.
I know. I'm still... a little bit sad for Karim Benzema with his goal in the Euros against Switzerland.
Yeah, this one's getting nowhere near
Paul
that.
Paul Pogba. Yeah, I know. But it was an absolute beauty, and it was a great start. Obviously, they went out, and Angelos Postecoglou will be a bit disappointed. Andy Brassel, he's not been there that long, of course. The big Aussie.
No, and it seems to be that. I mean, this is really difficult because you say that Postecoglou's just arrived, and the difficulty is, as you were saying, with these games, they're far too big games to be happening really at this point in the season.
Yeah.
And that's the same every year. You know, you'll hear people saying already, oh, Celtic season's over already because, you know, they're out of the Champions League by the end of July.
I mean, that's a bit silly.
I think it is because they still need to, you know, get themselves into the Europa League from here. And
do they go down to? Is it like the Europa League conference or what?
No, Europa League next.
It is Europa League.
So they'll have Europa League qualifiers next week. I'm not sure who they're playing off the top of my head, but the draw's already done. So
I mean, that's, you know, that could be a lot worse, couldn't it?
Oh, it could.
I think it's just a frustration, as you say, Marcus, of A, it happening again, and B, that sense of fail to prepare, prepare to fail, because no one sane is blaming Postecoglou for this. He's just come in. It seems that Celtic fans have met him with a great deal of optimism and responded to him positively. But in terms of the way the board's gone about their business or not gone about their business, it seems like it feels to a lot of Celtic fans, I think, like they've gone in with half a team. They need work there. Certainly, they're very inexperienced in defence.
Well, the average age was 21.
Yeah, they need a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty clear. In terms of goalkeeper, Marcus, they might have something up their sleeve.
Oh, go on.
Joe Hart.
How about that, eh? I think that would be a good move all round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, with regards to the signings, I mean, Postecoglou himself said this week that they'd been flying by the seat of their pants with the lack of signings available. I mean, when you're going into... It is a Champions League tie. It's a preliminary run at that, Jim, but it's not exactly ideal, is it?
No, of course not. It's an absolute sort of heartbreaking scenario, really, to be so, I guess, underprepared for various reasons for a game like this, because it's got such a seismic effect on your season. In, you know, what is slap bang in the middle of pre-season? Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you really be prepared in any sense? It's just an unfortunate quirk of how congested football is at the moment, isn't it?
I guess what a lot of... I mean, the thing is, this does happen every year. Yeah. And that's the thing with Celtic. There'll be a sense of deja vu, and there'll be a sense of, you know, what is the recruitment sector at the club? It seems like there's no direction, there's no organisation there. And they've known that they were going into this tie since the end of last season. Mm-hmm. So really, they need to get their ducks in a row, even if it's getting them a little bit closer in terms of a later qualifier, because now they're going to have to go through, what, four extra games even to get into the group stage of the Europa League.
That's their
best case scenario. It's really tough. And they've known this was going to be happening for a while. And it must be so frustrating, because if you look at the overall way that those two games went, and bear in mind that Midtjylland were a team that got to the group stage, they took points off Atalanta in the group stage of the Champions League last season. Okay, they've been weakened a little since then, but still, Celtic go into this and they've actually played well enough to win the tie over those two games, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely had their moments, and yeah, there's just not enough quality at both ends of the field. There was the daft sending off near Biton in the first game, which was really avoidable and kind of turned the game as well. So that's why I think the supporters will probably look at the board and say, you know, couldn't you have left us in a better position to deal with this? Because that's the thing, as you say, Jim, it's an absolute mountain to get to the group stage if you're starting at the second qualifying round. That's what it made it so amazing when Ajax got to the semi-finals and to the brink of the final, because they started in the qualifying rounds and got all the way. Of course, they're in a different position than Celtic because they've got more money and a better squad. But still, it shows that preparation is so important.
Yeah, I mean, potential silver lining though, Postecoglou said that he felt perhaps he should have been a bit more forceful with the board in talking about how much work they had to do in the transfer market. And now perhaps this shows that he had a point, right? And that he needs to be backed and they need to find solutions to make the squad better.
Yeah, it's not great for starters, is it, for him? Job and all that.
Especially
coming in.
With, you know, there's a lot of talk that Odson Edouard may well be off to Brighton, which would be obviously a great signing for them. I'd love to see what he can do in the Premier League, but obviously he's very, very tough to replace.
Well, gentlemen, let's hope that they are still very underprepared when they face the magnificent Gorgie Boys this Saturday to kick off.
I don't know if it matters how much they prepare when the Magnificents are in town, Marcus.
Oh dear. You mentioned the Galatasaray there, Andy. They went out to PSV in the qualifiers. I mean, that's a huge tie for a second round preliminary stage. I mean, I don't know the state of Galatasaray at the moment, but
they're in a similar situation to Celtic,
I'm sure,
with a kind of half finished team. Uh-huh. They've signed two fullbacks this week, including Patrick Van Aanholt, of course,
who's managing the Palace. Is Fatty back
there? Oh yeah, Fatty Terim's back there.
Kilksey is.
But I mean, they performed really poorly over the two legs. I mean, they lost 7-2 on aggregate.
Yeah, it's not great.
So St Johnstone, they're playing St. next Johnstone in their next. Qualifier. What a tie that is, by the way. St Johnstone versus Galatasaray. If that doesn't get the blood flowing, I don't think there's any blood in you.
Do you know what? I'm sort of on one level a bit gutted for St Johnstone that they've got Galatasaray, because you think, oh, that's such a huge tie. Like, it's such a big team. They probably won't get a chance. But if my more sort of cynical side, which actually brings a more sort of joyous reaction to this, is, well, I don't think St Johnstone would probably get to the Europa League. What is it? Europa League proper anyway. So why not have a big tie?
Yeah, exactly.
In the preliminary? Do you see what I mean?
Especially one that's a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah,
because if you get through it,
yeah,
then you've got the wind in your sails.
You're club legends,
exactly.
Already, and there will be some connected with Galatasaray who are getting the fear after what happened at Östersund a couple of years ago, and we all know what that turned into for Östersund.
Yeah, we do.
And Graham Potter.
Big pots. Gentlemen, let's come back home to the Premier League, if we may. Crystal Palace have confirmed the signing of Joachim Andersen for £17 million. Big signing, because he was at Fulham last season. Despite Fulham's relegation, he played well. But previously to that, Andy, you'd mentioned that he didn't do very well at Lyon, which remained, you know, that's still the case. I mean, whatever he did at Fulham, it's still his time at Lyon was poor. Hence him not playing at Lyon last season, I'm guessing.
Hence them basically giving him away to Fulham on transfer deadline.
Exactly, yeah. But what do you make of this, though? Because, he did all right for Fulham in the
More
Premier
than
League.
All right, I would say. He had a really, really good season in the Premier League. And that season at Lyon, happily for him, looks more and more like an anomaly. From the Lyon side, they're just delighted to get their money back because, as I said, they're in this position of having to basically give him away on deadline day last season. But
more pressure playing for Lyon than Fulham and Palace, you'd say.
But there are a lot of eyes on you if you're playing in the Premier League. And if you can have a good season in the Premier League, I mean, that was the best possible thing for him and the best possible thing for Lyon, because they managed to like minimise any sort of financial loss. And you know, the season he had last season, if we were in a proper transfer market rather than one that wasn't damaged by COVID, they'd have been able to knock him out for 30 million because he was really, really good. And it's positive for Palace. I can't get over those weird signing photos, though. Yeah.
Knock him out for 30 million sounds like a strange service, a very expensive service that you're running.
We're high class here at the Football Ramble. That's the higher level of Patreon.
What Jake and Logan Paul's agent offers boxers.
Jim, he's isolating his Joachim Andersen at the moment. So his photos on social media, which was sort of his unveiling, were in his house, I presume. And it did look as though that he was about to go on his first day off to school because he was sort of wearing the kit. Was it the away kit and then it was the home kit and the away kit?
It was two away kits.
Was it two away kits?
I mean, basically, I reckon they've put those up on Twitter or they've got the photos back from him. Got to send him that home kit.
But it was quite nice. But Palace said they've released Cahill, Sacco, Dan as well. So they needed a centre-half.
Yeah, it's a big change at Palace, isn't it? Yeah. It's a lot to sort of gel together at once under a new manager. I'm really intrigued as to how Vieira's going to do that and how he's going to do there in general.
Yeah, I mean, Vieira, we know he likes to go with youth. That seems to be what he's doing.
That's his thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And they did have a very old squad. They needed refreshing.
100%. They needed to go in that direction.
Did he think, did he think Andros Townsend was older than what he actually is?
he was
punditing on the Euros. That's the kind of thing I do. Yeah, he must.
He's been around for ages.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But Andy, he does seem to have been a clear out is too strong a word, perhaps, but he is shifting a few people around and wanting to get that more youthful exuberance, which Palace haven't had for a while.
Yeah, and some of that is out of his control as well, because you know that they clearly wanted to move on with so many players being out of contract, and some of those, like Saka, are really big earners as well.
Yeah.
So it gives him something to play with. I just hope he gets time, because globally he did a really good job at Nice. It didn't end brilliantly, but you look at his work there.
That can sometimes mask what somebody actually does.
Yeah.
If it doesn't end well, you think, actually, but hang on, let's look at the overall
last
picture.
Impressions last in football.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think he's someone with a lot of imagination, a lot of charisma, and he is really good with young players. You look at what he did at Manchester City as well. I'd be relatively optimistic for him. And clearly, him and the club have got a shared vision, which I know people talk about Frank de Boer, but he was trying to like reinvent the wheel with Allardyce and Pulis's players, which was never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So when, as entertaining as we all find the clip where Jose Mourinho gets stuck into him, I mean, I think, you know, we've never seen Mourinho and Luke in the same room, have we?
No, we I don't think we ever will, which is for all the benefit of all of our healths. Jim, is this just the next stepping stone for Patrick Vieira before he takes over from Mikel Arteta at Arsenal?
I tell you what, if he proves himself to be a brilliant manager, I would not hate that, but I can't see that happening, because I think Arteta will be there for probably another 23 or 4 years based on Arsenal's
I was going to say, this is rather pattern. Premature and downright silly of me to say that, but I thought I would...
The question really is, will he be as ripped at 70 as Arsene Wenger is? I'm not sure that's possible.
Vieira, I don't know. If anyone can do it...
I meant Arteta, actually.
Oh, right.
I mean, I think there's no chance of that.
No. Right. Seedorf, definitely. He's the one man I'd back to be ripped till the day he dies.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, very much agreed there. Right, Raphael Varane's transfer has been officially confirmed by Manchester United, because we've been talking about this all week, and it has been confirmed. Because if it hadn't been, we're not going to do it, all that chat would have just been old chutney, Andy.
After Joachim Andersen, I wonder what his spare room's going to look like.
I have no idea. Mm. I have no idea. But talking of centre-half signings, David Moyes is plotting a big swoop of his own. He is pushing, apparently, West Ham to sign Phil Jones on a free.
I'm not sure I'd like to see the Gurn if he's pushing Phil Jones.
Yeah. He's trying to capture his signature, Jim, and other such tabloid kind of expressions.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd be all over that. I'm surprised that we don't. I mean, Phil Jones is still only 29 years old. He feels like he's been around forever.
There's another one.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Because he's still in his 20s.
Yeah, I know. But him and Andros Townsend would have broken through when they were teenagers. So, you know, they have been around for ages, and yet they're still young.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of a punchline, isn't he, Phil Jones, because of the baffling things he does with his face.
Yeah.
And obviously, sometimes he looks a little bit cumbersome. But, I mean, you know, he played in the 2018 World Cup. It's for England, it's important to remember.
He was a part of the squad.
Didn't he play against Belgium? I think he managed to get onto the pitch.
The way you word that, he managed to get onto the pitch.
It's like Carl Power.
But still, right?
Yeah, look that one up if you don't know it. Carl Power.
He was a part of the 2018 World Cup.
But
played at a very high level of
football.
What
I'm saying exactly is he's played for Man United for a long time. Yes. He's won a lot of stuff there. And he's been involved in teams that have won.
No,
he's played
course,
for England. He's a far better player than the memes would have you believe.
No, you are right to say that, yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what sort of level he's at if he can join a club like West Ham.
But this is the kind of... If West Ham sign someone like Phil... No, specifically Phil Jones, because that's who we're talking about. If they sign Phil Jones, you look at one or two other players who have played for huge sides. I mean, Johnny Evans is one that leaps to mind, and obviously he went to West Brom, obviously did really well.
That's a great example.
Yeah, exactly, where you think, oh, actually, is he that good? And the memes don't help. They really, really don't, of course. And he has had a few sort of sloppy moments and so on in a Man United shirt, but he still played for them a long time. This could be a move where he goes to a side, West Ham in this case, and actually
becomes a big player for them.
Becomes a big player in a smaller pond and all that.
Can't forget how good he was for Blackburn.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
He was amazing for Blackburn.
That was a long time ago, though. Andy.
Yeah, it was.
You would think they were different players, like they were twins. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, if you see the footage of him.
And there are so many of those players coming out of United. You know, Lingard, Smalling, Lukaku, Mkhitaryan to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It can be done.
What's that?
I just remember Mkhitaryan at Arsenal, barely.
Yeah, but that's the funny thing. He was a great player elsewhere.
He's done pretty well for Roma. No. Did you see he had a great set two with Pepe in a friendly last night?
Mm.
Roma against Porto.
Oh, I did see the footage of that, yeah. Classic Pepe.
It's never too early to get started on the new season.
No.
Shoved his arm/elbow into Mkhitaryan's face. Mm-hmm. Mkhitaryan took a little foot fence at him.
Basically dives, isn't it? Foul someone and then dive is the Pepe.
The coaches had to come onto the pitch and calm it down. I love the idea that Sergio Conceição and Mourinho come onto the pitch to calm it down.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
You're right, though. With Pepe, he embodies the two worst things of football. Goes in for like a career-ending tackle and then dives at the same time. The absolute gall of the man.
But the winning smile, I think, is what tops it off.
Oh, the man is his...
He enjoys himself.
Oh, long may he reign.
He's an out-and-out winner. You can't deny. You
absolutely
can't deny.
No such thing as a friendly for Pepe.
No, certainly not. Mentioning West Ham earlier, there's a group of investors who've made a takeover bid to buy the club worth over £400 million. Apparently it was rejected by David Sullivan, because he claimed they never produced any proof of funds, which is quite crucial if you think about it.
Yeah.
But they had zero interest in the football side and saw it as a property move. Philip Beard... Now, immediately suspicions are aroused when you hear that name.
Even his name's in disguise.
Exactly. We'll just call him Philip for now, because that's all we know. He is heading the consortium, and he's hit back saying that they did provide proof of funds, and at no point were we asked to produce further information about our football strategy. It was quite clear to me that David Sullivan's sole focus was on price.
I mean, that sounds dodgy to me. At no point were we asked to produce further information about our football strategy. Surely you should lead with that. You know what I mean? It's not like... You have the option of talking about the football side of a football club when you're trying to buy them.
But that is assuming that the seller actually cares.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of assumptions and a lot of suspicions here on both sides of the table.
All delightfully petty, isn't it?
Yeah. I like the point. I'd like to think that they did talk football strategy, but like in a really kind of... like in an unnecessary way. So what are you going to bring? Well, we'll get a manager in to play 4-4-2. We're going to... No, you dickhead, not that.
But Dildo Brothers at it again.
Indeed. Essentially. Yeah. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break before we say something too naughty.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
And put away by Daniel James that time.
Great penalty. Go on, Wales. Cool.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for those emails.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
Gets me every time.
Yeah, we know. That's why people keep doing it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for people out there who want to make me smile and laugh. Can't ask for any more from anybody, can you?
No.
No.
A video with that camera angle?
Oh, yeah, there you're talking. There you're talking. Jim, you got the first email.
I do. It's from Jack Haslam, and he says, further to yesterday's discussion about the bloke who spotted a wild John Moss whilst at Five Aside, I thought I would also share my story of meeting the man himself whilst at uni in Leeds. John Moss owns a record shop in the heart of the student area of Headingley, aptly named The Vinyl Whistle.
That's a good name.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah. You see, I'm immediately assuming this is bullshit.
No, it's true. It's very real. Friends of mine that live around that way and are regulars in there. Right. I think it's a coffee shop as well.
Okay.
while searching for a birthday present, I wandered in and, to my shock, found Moss casually flicking through the latest releases. While I wanted to challenge the man about a recent VAR shambles that prevented a historic Sheffield United victory away at Spurs, the most I could manage was awkward small talk about the new Catfish and the Bottlemen album.
That's superb.
It's great, isn't it?
Presumably, if he was looking for a birthday present, Jim, or he wanted to buy a birthday card, in the shop they would only sell yellow and red cards.
Right, yeah. Maybe we should get this album or this podcast printed onto vinyl.
Dub plate, at the very least.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pre-season. Let's test it out. Yeah. I don't know. Is this more or less weird than Steve Davis, like, DJing the Aphex Twin and Ortega?
Yeah, that is. I keep forgetting that that's a real thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Ex snooker player Steve Davis being properly into his electronic music. Weird.
Yeah,
that great. Good for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But
incongruous.
You wouldn't think he would be into anything that has a beat.
No.
Good old Steve Davis. I do like the man.
We asked what objects people would offer up to get a shirt from their idol on Twitter after the Victor Wanyama thing at the weekend.
Oh, did they?
Did you see this? Victor Wanyama swapped his Montreal shirt for a packet of spaghetti from a fan at the weekend. As he was going down the tunnel, the fan had a sign which read, "We'll trade for spaghetti for kit." An interesting spin on "We'll fuck for coke." it refers to Wanyama's famous tweet in 2012. "I had spaghetti and it was very nice. I enjoyed it."
I can't handle how adorable that is. Like, I just can't deal with it. It's just so sweet.
But do you not think back in the sort of 2011, 2012, people would tweet that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas now,
they were just letting their followers know what they were doing with their day. And also, he's possibly practicing language. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Because it's so, so simple I'm just so happy for him that he enjoyed his spaghetti so much. It's just so sweet.
He didn't look delighted when he did the swap over. I don't know if that
It's weird, isn't it?
I don't know if it's because the spaghetti was uncooked, or perhaps in the original tweet, he meant to put spaghetti hoops and he'd lifted that. He was expecting to receive some sort of can.
Ah. I love what that, he did do the swap, though, rather than just give the guy his shirt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll take the spaghetti, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because there's almost like... Because you don't want to disrespect the guy. The guy's turned up with the spaghetti. He wants to give me the spaghetti. Yeah, I've got to take it.
Yeah, you don't want to be a big-time Charlie and just take the spaghetti and then just drop it on the floor. We've seen a few players doing the varsity shirts.
Oh, dear, Andy. We don't want to see that, do we? So, yes, who replied what then, Andy?
From our Twitter, James Harrison... replied abacus for Romario.
Yes. Right?
Sam, toilet paper for Jason Punchin.
That's disrespectful.
Matthew Green, he's not my idol, but I'm fairly confident Patrice Evra would swap his shirt for any kind of raw meat or fish.
He would.
I mean, that makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
Really. I did sort of find it quite funny when he kissed that fish.
Yeah, and the chicken that time.
No, the chicken's too much.
Yeah? Too sensual, was it, for you?
Too sensual and also too dangerous.
Yeah.
So, but don't you think that... I still think about the fish being there in the back of his car. I'm thinking about it now.
Possibly. What the
Has the fish been rescued from the back of his car, or does the back of his car really smell?
I don't know, but what...
Is he rich enough that he can just afford to get rid of the car rather than fumigate it?
Speaking of fish and backs of cars, I just think of Gascoigne when he did it to... Was it Ian Durant? Remember, Ali McCoy tells this story every time he's on the radio, but it's always enjoyable when he said that they were both injured at the time and he managed to get into Ian Durant's car or something like that. And they had two fish that were about to become rotten or something. And he put one in the seat and then one like underneath the where the tyre is. Like, but he was going to put both in behind the seat or something. And McCoist was about to put the second one. He went, no. He went, don't do that, because when he finds the first one, he'll think he's solved the problem. And then he stuck the other one in there.
Oh, God.
Hey, my goodness. Showerfootballramble.com for that kind of nonsense, everybody. Right, on to more serious matters. Have you seen that heading restrictions have been agreed? This is the FA, Premier League, the EFL, PFA and League Managers Association. They've issued recommendations that a maximum of 10 higher force headers are carried out in any training week. In a statement, this was described as typically headers from a long pass, more than 35 metres, or from crosses, corners and free kicks. The guidance is going to require clubs to change training routines, particularly for set pieces. For adult amateur football, there is an additional recommendation for only one session a week where heading practice is included, and professional clubs will be encouraged to ensure players have adequate time after matches to recover from heading. This is, of course, in response to the sort of long-going chat and sad examples that pop up every now and then of players and post-players having dementia and all sorts of sort of head injuries. It's an interesting one, and it's encouraging that such a wide range of associations and boards have come to an agreement.
Yes, it's a huge change, this. I mean, it makes a big change to training, presumably, and preparations. I know the players themselves have been tasked with keeping keeping track of how many headers they've made in a training session, and that's it's such a strange thing to throw into the mix of your preparations for things, but obviously it has to be done. I think we will probably in our lifetime see a game where you can't head the ball at all.
Do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because I think it will ultimately be quite hard to police is not quite the wrong word, but just to maintain those rules, because you know, heading with force is, that might have to be outlawed, right? So
I know what you mean. I think that,
but what I'm saying is, like, where's the line of what's forceful and what isn't?
Well,
I wonder
on the ground and off the ground, basically, isn't it?
I wonder if going forward, I think, because if it's every day in training and match day, where it's happening all the time, you're forcefully heading the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, if it was just on match day, you know, and it was you just leave it to whatever happens in the game, and then they restrict it as they have done in training. I wonder if that would be enough to sort of safeguard players.
Yeah, I guess the time will tell, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I've played football all my life. I've headed a fair few footballs and all the rest of it and whatnot. And I certainly would hope that wouldn't do anything to me going forward, you know, but I wasn't doing that every day in training.
Mm.
And I think the vast majority of people who play the game, you know,
I think that's it, isn't it? That training's about repetition.
Yes.
It's a start, but it does feel very tentative and very experimental.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it goes back to what Jim was saying about the fact that it is a cultural change that a lot of people are finding quite difficult to accept, really. Because I think when you saw the original statement from the FA, some of the responses about, oh, trying to ruin our game and all this sort of stuff, there's just no understanding still from a lot of people that, you know, footballers are actually human beings and this actually has life consequences.
Mm.
But I think a lot of the wording in the FA statement is about early stage research and initial research and so far and trial basis and all this sort of stuff.
It's a tricky, and I think people are worried that the game when teams play, it gets a bit sanitised potentially. But actually, that's not what the worry is here.
If you're going to worry about football being sanitised, you're like 30 years too late.
I was about to say that if you look at the game that what used to be played decades ago, you know, it has changed incredibly. And actually, I don't think this is something to worry about what will happen to the game. We'll still see Harry Maguire scoring great headers for England. Don't worry about that.
And you know what? If for people's health, we'd never have to see another header again, then fine. Fine.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Absolutely right, everybody. Quick update on the Olympic football, if we may. It's all gone wrong for old Gignac and France.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't give me the opportunity to cover the ears of all the French listeners there.
I'm afraid not, Andy. They've been sent packing after Japan thrashed them 4-0.
4-0.
4-0. What happened there?
Lamentable. Lamentable. Now, clearly
Les Miserables.
Yeah, Sylvain Ripoll, the coach who presided over not particularly good under-21 performance this summer, is getting a bit of heat already. I mean, clearly it's not the first choice squad, but I mean, they should have done better than this. And Gignac was not shy in saying that after the game, because when you're 35 and you're never going to play for France again, you can say what you want.
Yeah, that is a bit of a shame. But Chris Wood and New Zealand, they march on and they're going to face Japan in the next round, Jim.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's for me, like, Jonathan Lew wrote a really good piece in The Guardian recently about how
it's
time to just take men's football out of the Olympics because it seems a little bit incongruous, and also it just seems a bit of a distraction and a sideshow, doesn't it? And like,
Brazil win it. That'd be really pissed off.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
like maybe
duck it out now.
Maybe at the semi-final, we've decided to get rid of it out of the Olympics.
why do you think it should be taken out? I mean, we've been playing football in the Olympics since before the World Cup was even introduced.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe it's because football in itself is so big now. There is that argument as well. There's also, it's a really, really stuffed calendar. You look at the Spain squad, and obviously this is down to the people picking those players, but Pedri's in there, Ayuzabal, Dani Olmo's in there. A lot of players that have gone deep into the Euros as well.
Yeah, it's not normal.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know, I just feel like maybe just let the Olympians do their thing, leave football separate.
Would you take out tennis as well?
No, because I don't think it's quite the same in an individual sport.
Okay.
You know what? Having seen and enjoyed the 3-on-3 basketball so much, it makes me want to have five-a-side.
Oh, my God,
five-a-side football would be amazing.
Yeah, that might be a good solution.
That would be so good. You get the best five-a-side players from around the country as well. No professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Have it like it is in a lot of sports.
Like cage football.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a bit
South London would have to found its own team separate from Team GB, I think.
Or six or something like the Tennent Sixes. Get that back. You're looking at me, you don't know what I'm talking about. It was up in Bonnie, Scotland. They used to do that, Tennent Sixes.
Really?
Yeah, six aside. They used to do it.
The name rings a bell.
Was it the end of the season?
Was it a Masters tournament like the one you used to have down here?
In my mind, it was like you'd have some of the proper players play.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a bit of fun at the end of the season. If I've got that, I'm pretty sure it was the proper players. It's similar setup to the Masters. But
okay, who's in your five-a-side team GB
for England? For GB, yeah.
For what it's worth, Gilmore would be brilliant at it, so he's straight in.
Well, Pickford would obviously be in goal.
Right.
And then I'd have... I think John Stones would be handy on the ball.
Yeah.
I'd have all English players, if I'm honest with you, Andy, because Gareth Bale doesn't seem up for it. He doesn't seem that ball. And I'd have Aaron Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey would be in there. And
Gilmore, there's your five.
No, I wouldn't have Gilmore in there.
You wouldn't have Gilmore in there?
No. I would have... Well, Jim, help me out here.
I mean, you probably want Harry Kane in there, right? Because he's just a finisher. Mm-hmm. You know those players that just put everything away in those sort of games? He would absolutely translate that from a massive pitch to a small one.
Yeah, okay. So Pickford
It's a boring choice, I admit, but he's going to score loads of goals.
Pickford in goal, Stones at the back. All right, we'll have Gilmore and Ramsey in the midfield and then Kane
up top.
You happy with that?
Yeah. Send in your counter suggestions. Tweet us at Football Ramble.
Team GB 5-a-side.
Oh, Football Ramble, yeah.
I think Spain would be amazing at it.
Oh, yeah. They would be, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, everybody. That's the end of the Football Ramble today. Thank you very much. Don't forget, you can sign up to our Football Ramble Patreon. You get two bonus episodes and ad-free rambles and access to our Discord. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble for more info. On tomorrow's show, Jim, you're back with Kate and Pete.
Sure am.
Look forward to that. All right, then. Until then, thanks very much, Andy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.